So it is that one who searches for fundamentals comes to bifurcations, never to a base, only to a quandary. In our own field, let there be any acceptable finding. It indicates that the earth moves around the sun. Just as truly it indicates that the sun moves around the earth. What is it that determines which will be accepted, hypnotically blinding the faithful to the other aspect? Our own expression is upon development as serial reactions to successive dominance. Let the dominant spirit of an era require that this earth be remote and isolated, Keplerism will support it, let the dominant change to a spirit of expansion, which would be impossible under such remoteness and isolation, Keplerism will support, or will not especially oppose, the new dominant. This is the essential process of embryonic growth, by which the same protoplasmic substance responds differently in different phases. But I do not think that all data are so plastic. There are some that will not assimilate with a prevailing doctrine. They can have no effect upon an arbitrary system of thought, or a system subconsciously induced. In its time of dominance, they will simply be disregarded. We have reached our catalogue of the sights and the sounds to which all that we have so far considered is merely introductory. For them there are either no conventional explanations or poor insufficiencies half-heartedly offered. Our data are glimpses of an epoch that is approaching with faraway explosions. It is vibrating on its edges with the tread of distant space armies. Already it has pictured in the sky visions that signify new excitements, even now lapping over into the affairs of a self-disgusted, played-out hermitage. We assemble the data. Unhappily, we shall be unable to resist the temptation to reason and theorize. May superembryology have mercy upon our own syllogisms. We consider that we are entitled to at least 13 pages of gross and stupid errors. After that we shall have to explain. Part 2. 13. June, 1801. A mirage of an unknown city. It was seen, for more than an hour, at Youghal, Co. Cork, Ireland, a representation of mansions, surrounded by shrubbery and white palings forests behind. In October, 1796, a mirage of a walled town had been seen distinctly for half an hour at Youghal. Upon March 9, 1797, had been seen a mirage of a walled town. February 7, 1802, an unknown body that was seen, by Fritsch, of Magdeburg, to cross the sun, observatory, 3:136. October 10, 1802, an unknown dark body was seen, by Fritsch, rapidly crossing the sun, Comte's rendezvous, 83:587. Between 10 and 11 o'clock, morning of October 8, 1803, a stone fell from the sky, at the town of Apt, France. About 8 hours later, some persons believed that they felt an earthquake, report BA, 1854-53. Upon August 11, 1805, an explosive sound was heard at East Haddam, Connecticut. There are records of 6 prior sounds, as if of explosions, that were heard at East Haddam, beginning with the year 1791, but, unrecorded, the sounds had attracted attention for a century, and had been called the Mudus sounds, by the Indians. For the best account of the Mudus sounds, see the Amer. Jour. Sci. 39-339. Here a writer tries to show the phenomena were subterranean, but says that there was no satisfactory explanation. Upon the 2nd of April, 1808, over the town of Pignerol, Piedmont, Italy, a loud sound was heard. In many places in Piedmont an earthquake was felt. In the report BA, 1854-68, it is said that aerial phenomena did occur, that, before the explosion, luminous objects had been seen in the sky over Pignerol, and that in several of the communes in the Alps aerial sounds, as if of innumerable stones colliding, had been heard, and that quakes had been felt. From April 2 to April 8, 40 shocks were recorded at Pignerol, sounds like cannonading were heard at Barga. Upon the 18th of April, 2 detonations were heard at La Tour, and a luminous object was seen in the sky. The supposition, or almost absolute belief of most persons is that from the 2nd to the 18th of April this Earth had moved far in its orbit and was rotating so that, if one should explain that probably meteors had exploded here, it could not very well be thought that more meteors were continuing to pick out this one point upon a doubly moving planet. But something was specially related to this one local sky. Upon the 19th of April, a stone fell from the sky at Borgo San Donnino, about 40 miles east of Piedmont, report BA, 1860. Sounds like cannonading were heard almost every day in this small region. Upon the 13th of May, a red cloud such as marks the place of a meteoric explosion was seen in the sky. Throughout the rest of the year, phenomena that are now listed as earthquakes occurred in Piedmont. The last occurrence of which I have record was upon January 22, 1810. February 9, 1812 Two explosive sounds at East Haddam, America Jersey, 39-339. July 5, 1812 One explosive sound at East Haddam, America Jersey, 39-339. October 28, 1812 Phantom soldiers at Havara Park, near Ripley, England, Edinburgh Annual Register, 1812-2-124. When such appearances are explained by meteorologists, they are said to be displays of the aurora borealis. Psychic research explains variously. The physicists say that they are mirages of troops marching somewhere at a distance. Night of July 31, 1813 Flashes of light in the sky of Tottenham, near London, Yearbook of Facts, 1853-272. The sky was clear. The flashes were attributed to a storm at Hastings, 65 miles away. We note not only that the planet Mars was in opposition at this time, July 30, but in one of the nearest of its oppositions in the 19th century. December 28, 1813 An explosive sound at East Haddam. February 2, 1816 A quake at Lisbon. There was something in the sky. Extraordinary sounds were heard, but were attributed to flocks of birds. But 6 hours later something was seen in the sky, it is said to have been a meteor, report BA, 1854-106. Since the year 1788, many earthquakes, or concussions that were listed as earthquakes, had occurred at the town of Comorie, Perthshire, Scotland. 17 instances were recorded in the year 1795. Almost all records of the phenomena of Comorie start with the year 1788, but, in Macara's Guide to Creif, it is said that the disturbances were recorded as far back as the year 1597. They were slight shocks, and until the occurrence upon August 13, 1816, conventional explanations, excluding all thought of relations with anything in the sky, seemed adequate enough. But, in an account in the London Times, August 21, 1816, it is said that, at the time of the quake of August 13, a luminous object, or a small meteor, had been seen at Dunkeld, near Comorie, and, according to David Milne, Eden. Newfill, Jure, 31-110, a resident of Comorie had reported a large luminous body, bent like a crescent, which stretched itself over the heavens. There was another quake in Scotland, Inverness, June 30, 1817. It is said that hot water fell from the sky, report BA, 1854-112. January 6, 1818 An unknown body that crossed the sun, according to Loft, of Ipswich, observed about 3.5 hours, Quar Jour Roy. Inst. 5-117. Five unknown bodies that were seen, upon June 26, 1819, crossing the sun, according to Gruthusen, An Psi Disc, 1860-411. Also, upon this day, Pastorf saw something that he thought was a comet, which was then somewhere near the sun, but which, according to Albers, could not have been the comet, Webb, Celestial Objects, p. 40. Upon August 28, 1819, there was a violent quake at Irkutsk, Siberia. There had been two shocks upon August 22, 1813, Report B.A., 1854-101. Upon April 6, 1805, or March 25, according to the Russian calendar, two stones had fallen from the sky at Irkutsk, Report B.A., 1860-12. One of these stones is now in the South Kensington Museum, London. Another violent shock at Irkutsk, April 7, 1820, Report B.A., 1854-128. Unknown bodies in the sky, in the year 1820, February 12 and April 27, Comptes Rendus, 83-314. Things that marched in the sky see Arago's Obras, 11-576, or Annals de Chimie, 34-17 objects that were seen by many persons, in the streets of Embrun, during the eclipse of September 7, 1820, moving in straight lines, turning and retracting in the same straight lines, all of them separated by uniform spaces. Early in the year 1821 and a light shone out on the moon, a bright point of light in the lunar crater Aristarchus, which was in the dark at the time. It was seen, upon the 4th and the 7th of February, by Capt. Cater, ANREG, 1821-689, and upon the 5th by Dr. Albers, MEMS. RAS, 1-159. It was a light like a star, and was seen again, May 4 and 6, by the Reverend M. Ward and by Francis Bailey, MEMS. RAS, 1-159. At Cape Town, nights of November 28 and 29, 1821, again a star-like light was seen upon the moon, Philosophy Transaction, 112-237. Quar. Jour. Roy. INST, 20-417. That, early in the morning of March 20, 1822, detonations were heard at Melita, an island in the Adriatic. All day, at intervals, the sounds were heard. They were like cannonading, and it was supposed that they came from a vessel, or from Turkish artillery, practicing in some frontier village. For 30 days the detonations continued, sometimes 30 or 40, sometimes several hundred, a day. Upon April 13, 1822, it seems, according to description, that clearly enough was there an explosion in the sky of Comorie, and a concussion of the ground, two loud reports, one apparently over our heads, and the other, which followed immediately, under our feet, Eden. New Philosophy Jour, 31-119. July 15, 1822 The fall of perhaps unknown seeds from perhaps an unknown world, a great quantity of little round seeds that fell from the sky at Marienwerder, Germany. They were unknown to the inhabitants, who tried to cook them, but found that boiling seemed to have no effect upon them. Wherever they came from, they were brought down by a storm, and 2 days later, more of them fell, in a storm, in Silesia. It is said that these corpuscles were identified by some scientists as seeds of Galium spurium, but that other scientists disagreed. Later more of them fell at Posen, Mecklenburg. See Bull. Desai. Math, Astro, etc. 1-1-298.